And I'd like to welcome Stephen Bowrick. Bowring, sorry. I put Bowrick on the thing and it's actually Bowring. Sorry, let's get your name right with a G on the end. Steve is he's from South Africa originally. You'll tell that from his accent. And he works with Compassion as a regional development worker in the north of England. It's great to have you with us, Steve, and we're looking forward to what God's going to share with us through you now.
Thank you, Paul. Bless Thanks you. So much. Eh? Okay. Cheers. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
How are you all doing today? You all right? You can hear me okay? That's great. You all made it out through the marathon and the roads. You all here. Beautiful day. Great. So my name's Steve. Steve Bowring, Partnerships Manager in the north of England for Compassion. Thank you, Paul, for having me here today. And myself and Tozi are both here from Compassion today. Ooh, shrinking a bit. Go back up. And it's just a privilege and a pleasure to be with you, to share a bit more about the work of Compassion, maybe just touch on a bit of God's heart on issues of justice and poverty today as well. Is that okay? You ready to hear a bit more about Compassion, what the Bible has to say about issues of poverty and justice? So I tell you what, I told you my name. So my name's Steve, but I would love to hear all of your names, okay? So what I'm going to do, I'm going to count to three, and then I want you to all just shout out your name to me, okay? And I'm going to make a mental note of every single name when you come and chat to me after the service. Is that okay? Can we do that, hey? Okay, one, two, three.
Sue.
I got it. It's in there. It's all in there. I'm ready for that. So that's great. So how many of you have heard about Compassion before? Just by show of hands. Okay. That's great. Oh, right. Okay. That's super. So, super. I'll tell you what you can do for me. Why don't you tap your neighbor on the shoulder and just say to them, you're about to learn something new today. Why don't you go ahead and do that? And I want you to tap them on the shoulder again and say, and it's about time. Okay. You all know what I mean. Okay. It's about time. We're all going to learn something new today. So you can hear from my accent. I'm South African. I come from a little town called Cape Town. My folks in Somerset West came over here, and I met a lovely Geordie lass from Newcastle. So we now live up in Newcastle as well with two little bambinos, two little boys. And we're actually expecting a few more additions this September. So we've got twins on the way. So you can all just pray for me, pray that I find a good bus to drive and that sort of thing as well. So kind of interesting times, but God is good. I prayed for a double portion of his blessing, and that's exactly what I got this year. So praise God. And we're looking forward to that. But it's interesting, you know, how I get involved with Compassion is when my wife and I were first dating, really, I took her for a nice little coffee in a coffee shop, and we sat down. I don't know if you remember back in the day, you were single, you were dating. And so I was having a nice coffee with Ali, and she just sort of casually took a little Compassion profile out of her bag and she slid it across the table. And she was like, hey, have you ever thought about sponsoring a child before? And to be honest with you, I hadn't thought about it, but I had money and it seemed like a good idea to do. So I didn't think about it or pray about it. I was like, great. Brilliant, I'll sponsor a child, you know. If only she had known, I would have sponsored about two or three children that day, you know. But I sponsored the one, and we got married, and we're living happily ever after. So the moral of the story is, if you're dating a gal and she slides something across the table, sponsor the child, okay? That'll go a long way. But God is good, and, it's interesting. When I first started sponsoring a child through Compassion, you know, I'm from South Africa, but to be honest with you, I think I was really sort of ignorant to the issues of poverty and justice. Maybe the words that song like summed it up nicely, but there was just a coldness of heart towards it. Maybe my heart, I think, if I'm honest, had grown a bit calloused towards these sort of issues. And it's been a wonderful journey for myself personally over the last few years as God's taught me, you know, more about his heart on reaching the poor, reaching the lost, the last and the least of these sort of people. I think, you know, I've just come to know God's just got a massive heart towards lifting up the downtrodden from the dust, if that makes sense, you know, seating them with the princes of his people, as the Bible says. And I think God just wants us to be a church that's making a difference in the world and reaching out to those. You know, in light of the overwhelming statistics that just leave us feeling numb, you know, I think Paul was right. You know, it's the whole story of the starfish. You know, I don't think God calls us to change the world, but he calls us to do something. And there's a big difference from, you know, just feeling numb to actually doing something. And I think that's the start of the journey for me from when Ellie slid the profile. I did something that day without really thinking about it. And now God's taken me on this wonderful, beautiful journey that I'm on now, discovering even more about his heart on these issues. And I have the wonderful privilege of you know, bringing that to light with people like yourselves and the whole church, you know, as we go. And so there's another man that was faced, you know, confronted with suffering. And his name is Reverend Everett Swanson. And this is really the genesis of how Compassion got started, through one man deciding to do something. And so a Baptist minister by the name of Reverend Everett Swanson had the opportunity to travel out to South Korea in 1952, back then, and preach to the troops. And what he saw in South Korea would change his life forever. He was going for a walk one morning through a poverty-stricken shantytown, and he noticed a truck weaving its way through the shantytown. And from what he saw there, it looked like the men were hopping out of the truck and they were collecting bags of rubbish. But he sadly discovered it wasn't bags of rubbish. It was, very sadly, the bodies of street children that had died during the night. And as a result of the war, lots of these kids had become war orphans. They had lost their mums and dads. They had no place to live, and they were seeking out whatever shelter they could find, whether it's corrugated iron shacks or, you know, just dustbins or sackcloths and what have you. And so many of these kids had passed away during the night, and these men were coming along and inspecting the bags, pushing them. If they didn't push back, you know, they would put the bags in the truck. And as you can imagine, any mum or dad here as well, you know, for all of us, you know, this absolutely broke Reverend Swanson's heart, as you can imagine, to see the bodies of all these children just discarded in that sort of way. And he went away from this and felt so challenged by God, you know, and God reminded him of the story of when Jesus fed the 5,000. And he turns to one of his disciples, you know, it's a hot day, people are hungry and they're tired and there's nowhere really for them to go and buy food from or get drinking water. And he, you know, 5,000 men alone. And he turns to one of his disciples and he says to him, what are you going to do about it? You know, what a question. What are you going to do about it? And we know how the story ends, and Jesus does an amazing miracle and he feeds all the people. But Reverend Everett Swanson felt challenged by God speaking to him, just saying, you know, what are you going to do about it? And he flew back home again to the States afterwards. And would you believe it, in the post arrived two checks and with a letter saying, hey, we just felt God called us to give this money to you. Do whatever you want with it. Do whatever you want. And he took it as a real sign that God, you know, was encouraging him to go back and get involved in South Korea and make a difference to the lives of these children. And so he went back and he set up a home for them, and he connected them to a church and gave them fresh drinking water, food, clothing, and they got to hear about the Bible. And who would have imagined, you know, through Reverend Everett Swanson's one act of kindness of what he did in 1952 already, that over 63 years later, you know, he would have started something so powerful, which has become what it is, Compassion today. Well, we have got 1.7 million children right now who participate in Compassion programs. Isn't that amazing? And we work through a network, you know, of 7,000 local churches. The whole hero of the story of Compassion is the local church, We work exclusively through the local church, who are situated right in the heart of the communities where families are living in what we call extreme poverty. You know, extreme poverty with a lack to some of the basic things that we take for granted for us. So God is doing an incredible thing through Compassion. Would you believe it? By God's grace, we saw 158,000 children last year make a decision to follow Jesus Christ as their Lord. Isn't that amazing? 158,000 children. Of that, 8,000 care workers as well. Many of them are raised by their grandparents as well. Particularly HIV/AIDS in Africa is a big deal. All over the world, really. So amazing what God is doing through the local church in partnership with Compassion. So as Paul correctly said earlier on, the big idea of Compassion is to release children from poverty in Jesus' name. We're all about Jesus. We love Jesus. And God is moving through what Compassion is doing, impacting kids' lives in a big way. So we thank God for that. We're a holistic child development charity. So holistic is the spiritual, economic, social, and physical aspects of child development. And the big idea is that kids become responsible, mature Christian adults at the end of their graduation from Compassion. So it's amazing. You know what? Jesus said in Matthew 19:14, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." It's a beautiful verse that really just shows the special place that Jesus had and still has in his heart for children. But when I read it, I think about those millions of children out there who are still living in poverty, struggling, as I said, to get access to some of the basic needs such as food, healthcare, education. Let me ask you this question. How many children do you think are living in extreme poverty today? How many children do you think are living in extreme poverty today? Anyone want to have a guess? Hands up. Shall I tell you the answer? All right. One third of the world's children are living in extreme poverty today. One third of the world's children. How many people are in the world? I think there's about 7 billion or so people. So one third, nearly two and a bit billion children are living in extreme poverty. Okay. Other statistics, a child dies from hunger every 5 seconds. More than 10 million children die under the age of five. 10 million children under the age of five die each year. Gosh, that's just crazy. That's just absolutely crazy, the impact that poverty is still having. We're making a difference. We've got 1.7 million children, but there's a whole big mountain to climb. And I think God's wanting to activate his church and get his church involved in making an impact. You know, for such a time as this, I believe we're here to have an impact. You know, but poverty not only makes life a physical struggle, you know, it also steals this precious thing that we each of us have in our lives. And this powerful thing is called hope. The hopes and the dreams, the purposes and the plans that God has for each one of our life is so important to us. If you take away hope from your life, what are you left with? What are you left with if all hope is gone? How are you motivated to get up every single day? Hope is not to be underestimated. It is so powerful. But this is what poverty does. It has a wicked tongue. And it comes alongside these kids and it says to them, you have no hope. You have no dreams and you'll never reach your dreams. It is such a liar. As children are abused, neglected, forgotten, and looked down on, they come to believe that their lives don't matter to anyone. But we simply know that's not true. God places extreme value on every single person, no matter what their background is. Did you know the word compassion literally means to suffer together? It's defined as the feeling that arises when you are confronted with another's suffering and you feel motivated to relieve that suffering. I love that. That's what literally compassion means. You're confronted with it and you're motivated to relieve that suffering. And I thought, you know, there's a man in the Bible that was confronted with another suffering and felt motivated to relieve that suffering. And it's the story of the Good Samaritan. the Good Samaritan, from what we read today in Luke 10, verse 25 to 37. What a powerful story. I love that story. And thank you for reading, whoever read that this morning. That was lovely. You know, a man's going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He gets attacked by robbers, beaten, left for dead. He's all bloodied up in the corner there, you know, left for dead. And so we've got three people that come on by, a priest, a Levite, and a Samaritan as well. And what does the Bible say they do? It's so interesting. And the priest is on his way, he's on his way, and he sees the man over there. And I love the words the Bible uses. He just goes to the other side. He chooses the other side. Why does he choose the other side? I wonder why he chose the other side. Maybe it was inconvenient. He had an appointment, a schedule to keep, important people to see, no doubt, no doubt as well. He's a priest, he's a mediator between God and man for the time, and he chooses the other side. Then a Levite comes along, and what does the Levite do? He chooses the other side as well. A Levite, you know, a tribe dedicated to serving in the house of God, to being a real light for the people. The priest and the Levite does. And then eventually a Samaritan comes along, you know, a Samaritan. And what does the Bible say? He goes to where the man was. He goes to where the man, he was inconvenienced. He was, had, you know, obviously a businessman on his way, you know, no doubt. And he sees this man and he picks him up. He puts him on his own donkey, you know, takes him to an inn. And he bandages it, puts wine and olive oil and who knows what to try and bandage the man up. And he gets him and he looks after him, pays his denarii. And he says, look, when I come back, I'll fit the bill for this man. Isn't that an incredible story? Who was a real neighbor to the suffering man? Was it the priest, the Levite, or the Samaritan? Obviously, the real neighbor was the Good Samaritan that we now know. What a powerful story that Jesus shared. You know, I wonder, how can you be a real neighbor to the people in your world, to your friends and your family? How can you be a real neighbor to someone who's even a stranger? I wonder who will come along your path, your journey today as you go about life, your journey this week as you go about life. How can you be a neighbor to those people and those who confront you with their suffering? You know, I believe God wants us to engage with the world. I think he wants us to go through life with our eyes wide open, to respond with compassion, most importantly, to take action. To get stuck in, get involved, you know, in whatever way we can, you know. He doesn't want us to change the whole world. He just wants us to change that one starfish, you know, that one person's life who we're called to impact. How do I know he wants us to do this? You know, Justin Welby spoke about that day when he's going to come to meet with God one day, you know, and meet with his maker, that we're all going to meet with our maker. And what words do we want to hear God to say to us? Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. I pray that those are the words each one of us will hear one day as we come stand before our maker. But the Bible is an interesting way to challenge us. It's an interesting way to challenge us. Yes, Justin Welby was right. It's so important that we have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. But Jesus says something else about the judgment day, that day when we'll stand before him. How many of you know where I'm going with this? Shall I tell you? I'd love to tell you. Thank you. Thank you for asking me. Okay, Matthew 25, this is the judgment. Beautiful picture of Jesus seated on his throne. And he's got all the nations before him. And it's a moment where he's about to divide the goats from the sheep. You know that story, hey. Can you imagine? Pick me out or choose me. I want to be a sheep on that day. I definitely don't want to be a goat on that day. Okay, I want him to say, well done, good and faithful servant. And this is what's interesting. And this is the deciding factor between the goats and the sheep. And Jesus says, I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, left for dead on the side of the road, bleeding, bruised, battered. Okay? and you invited me in. You picked me up and put me on your donkey. You took me to an inn, naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger, invite you in and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. You know, wow, you know, what a Christian responsibility we have to have an impact. God doesn't just want us to be saved for, you know, to have no impact, but I believe God wants to use each one of your lives to have a tremendous impact in the lives of other people, for the last, and the least, in whatever way, shape, and form that looks like as well. You know, through Compassion sponsorship, I've found a way personally, since that first day of sponsoring one, to have an impact. My wife and I now sponsor 3 children in Tanzania and Uganda. And like Paul was saying earlier, what a privilege it is to sponsor these kids. A sponsorship for us is £25 a month for each child. We get to write letters to them. We get to pray for them, get news updates back from them on how they're progressing through the Compassion Projects. You know, they get to get school uniforms and go to school. What a difference education makes in the life of our children, you know, and food and water and all the benefits of being a part of the Compassion Program. And one of our kids has recently graduated. What a privilege it's been to write that last letter. And he's now a wonderful Christian man of God, wanting to go on and have an impact. I think he wants to become a pastor as well. Phenomenal. You know what? It's a privilege to have an impact in their lives, you know. What I want us to do now quickly is just turn our attentions to the screen. You know, we're going to watch the powerful story of a guy called Richmond. You know, it's a story of someone who's taken action to sponsor him as a child as well, and what the difference it's made in his life now that he's an adult. So if we can just turn our attention to the screen, and then afterwards I'm going to invite Tozi to come on up and share his story with us.
When I was 8 years old, my father was taken away from us, and by that I mean he was murdered. Nothing was the same for me. News began to come to our doorstep. From our landlord, we got word that we couldn't stay in the house that we stayed anymore because we couldn't afford it. My mother had no job. My father was the only breadwinner. We moved from where we stayed to a place called Naguru Kasenke, which is one of Uganda's largest slums. And then I was introduced to our new home, which was a 12 by 12 room. I looked up on the roof. It was a tin roof that had holes in it. I've been to places where when it rains, people are happy. They get excited. But for me growing up, whenever it rained, that was a night that we would stay standing. Get little buckets, place just where the holes in the roof are, and wait until morning. A reality hit me that day. This was life. I remember when my mom said to us there was no money for food. That ushered us into a place where we were now going to begin to go to the street to fend for food. Hunger began to set in. Lack of water. I was a kid. I didn't have time to be a child anymore. As I lived like this on a daily basis, poverty began to speak to me as a child. I felt I was nothing. I didn't matter. Nobody cared to know my name. I think the best way I could describe who I was and what I thought is the word hopeless. My mother, in tears, approached one of her friends just to share with her friend, and her friend shared with her about Compassion. Compassion staff members immediately came to our home. I remember them coming with files to get details of who we were, what our story was. I got the news that a young lady, Heather, she was 15 years old, a teenager. She had decided to sponsor me. I cannot find the words to describe the joy that filled our home when we got the news. Richmond, you've got a sponsor, which means you can now go back to school. It means food will be given to us because of you. I began to walk into that reality that ushered in me an opportunity to rekindle this hope that was taken away. Heather began to write to me. To hear words like, Richmond, I love you. Richmond, I'm praying for you. They began to bring healing into places that were destroyed by voices and poverty and my self-image. I remember my day, June the 3rd, 1996. I walked forward to accept the Lord Jesus in my heart. I began to feel, wow, I have been released from poverty. I have been released. God began to continue to grow the leadership within me. And then I felt fully called to pursue pastoral ministry. I began the Pastors Discipleship Network, a ministry that exists to train and equip pastors. And I spend a lot of my life training and equipping pastors in the Word of God. Looking back into my life and thinking where I am right now and what I'm doing, I don't think any of this would have been possible without compassion. Compassion works. Everything that was placed within the program has helped build me to who I am right now. Poverty is not just the lack of money, the lack of material, food and water. Poverty is in. It's deep. I credit a lot of how I feel now about myself to those letters that I received from my sponsor. My name is Richmond Wandera, and I was released from poverty in Jesus' name.
That's great. What a lovely man. What a powerful story of a life that's been changed through sponsorship. So what I'd love to do is if we could just welcome Tozi on up. He's come from Kenya, now living in the United Kingdom now. And he's with us today just to share a bit of his story through compassion for the next 15 minutes. Is that okay, church? That's great. Let's just welcome him with a big round of applause.
Hallelujah. My name is Tosi from Kenya. I live in Nottingham. I'm blessed with two kids. Firstborn, she's a girl. She's called Florence. The secondborn is called Joseph. I greet you all in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm beneficiary of Compassion International. And I remember back in 1993, my life before Compassion took over my life. I used to stay in Mathare slums, that was in Kenya. And I remember in 1993, I was 9 years old, and because of the poverty, my parents could not afford to buy food, so I had to join a gang so that I can go to the town centers to rob some money and bring back to my family so that we can get some food. And it was a very terrible life in Mathare slums. And in the slums, I remember when I was 7 years old, that was the first time I saw young girls having kids and just abandoning the kids on the doors when they are dead because they can't afford to bring the child up. And because due to the poverty, people used to be killed every day. I remember when I was 6 years old, one time I woke up in the morning when I was going to school and I saw dead bodies in front of our houses. It was just something. It was just normal to me. So, but I thank God for Compassion International. When they came in, I remember that was back in 1993. It was in November. And one of our friends said, there is an organization called Compassion International and they sponsor kids. And my family was happy. And in my family, I was the second born, so my parents chose me to go through Compassion International to be helped. And I remember, because Compassion International used to work with Redeemed Gospel Church back in Mathare slums in Kenya, and I remember it was on a Saturday, 19th of November, and we went to that church. They took photos, and they sent photos back to US, and I got, by God's grace, I got a sponsor, and still I remember my sponsor's name because they were Fellowship, and I remember the leader of the sponsors, he was called Mr. and Mrs. Johnson, back in US in Colorado Springs. And after I got the sponsors, that's the first time I was told I love you. Nobody, since I was born, there's nobody who told me I love you, we pray for you. I didn't know the word of God, but when the compassion came in and I got sponsors, I started learning more about the word of God. I received Jesus as my personal savior, and from that day until today, I still believe in God, and I know God is going to take me into places. And the living conditions in Mathare were, we used to share toilets, like in our neighborhood, we were like 50 or 60 families, and we used to share toilets, we used to share even the bathroom. Sometimes, even to go to the bathroom, you used to pay like 1p, 1 pence, to go and have a shower. But because my family could not afford even to give me 1p to go for a shower, so I used to go for days without even going, having water on my body and be clean. So I grew up in a very bad environment before compassion came in and took over my life. And I remember my mom used to work more than 2 jobs to sustain our family, because sometimes I remember there's like 2 weeks before compassion came in, we went without food for 2 weeks. And you can imagine, you're in poverty, even the people in poverty, they are still calling you poor. And you're still on the same, they are your neighbors. You're in poverty, they are calling you poor. So, and it was very terrible. But because I remember my mom one day, she was praying and she was crying to God. And one of our neighbors came and said, the Lord one day will remember your family. Then after compassion took over, my sponsors were able to pay my school fees. So I went through primary education. After I finished primary, I went to high school, went to college. Then after college, I had to give back to my community. So I decided to be a Sunday school teacher in my own church, in Redeemed Gospel Church, Mathare. That is back in Nairobi, in Mathare slums. And I worked with the church as a Saturday club and stroke Sunday school teacher for 3 years before I got an opportunity to come here in UK and volunteer for LL Ministries. And I remember on Saturdays, we used to go on those Saturday clubs, and there were social workers who worked in partnership with Compassion International, and they used to teach us the word of God. They used to teach us how to be clean and things like that. And I thank God for Compassion, because I got, our family was sponsored, and we got some food. We got even access to go to hospitals, because in Kenya, there's no insurance or like NHS, which is free here. When you go to hospital, you have to pay money. And if you don't have money, sometimes people even, they die because they don't have money to go to the hospital. So I thank God for Compassion International, the time they came in my life. And soon as I finished college and I graduated as a social worker, then after that I was a graduate of Compassion International, and I got an opportunity to come and work with LL Ministries here in the UK for 1 year. Then after 1 year, I joined the British Army for 5 years. After 5 years, I resigned just last year, and now I'm doing Bachelor of Arts in Theology in Canterbury, Christ Church University. And if it wasn't for Compassion sponsoring me, I could not be even here. Maybe I could be dead back in 1993 And I thank God for Compassion International also for supporting me through until I was 21. And I really appreciate God using Compassion International to sponsor more kids and make a difference in their life. And the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 19:17, the one who is gracious to the poor lends to the Lord, and the Lord will repay him for his good deed. So when you sponsor a child through Compassion International, you are making a difference to that child. You might have saved his life or his career, whatever he wants to do in life. Because if it wasn't for Compassion International, I could not be even in front of you speaking today. May God bless you.
Thank you. Tozi. That's good. Thank you for sharing your story with all of us today. I want to ask you, what would you say to someone who's thinking about sponsoring a child today?
Sponsoring a child, because I'm also I sponsor two kids in Peru, and it's a good thing to sponsor a child and see a child, because sometimes I put myself in that situation still, when I didn't have hope in life, and somebody came up and sponsored me, and now I can speak in front of people and through Compassion International and urge people. It's good to make a difference in person's life.
Amen. Yeah. That's great. Thank you so much for sharing your story today. Hey, that's great. So just before I go, has this been helpful to you, learning a bit more about compassion today? Hey, and touching on a bit of God's heart and issues of poverty and justice. And just listening to your story, that's so powerful. Before I go today, I want to introduce you just to a few kids that need your help and your support. If you're thinking about, hey, I'd love to sponsor a child, maybe I could do that. I've got little Mo from Thailand. He's a little boy, 5 years old. He's looking for a sponsor today. Maybe you could sponsor little Mo. I've got little Ellie, a little boy, 5 years old, who lives in Togo. He's looking for a sponsor. Anderson, a little boy, he's 4, who lives in the Dominican Republic. So he's looking for a sponsor today as well. I've brought with me a whole bunch of kids out there in the foyer on the compassion table, children who are waiting for a sponsor. It is so easy to sponsor a child. All you need to do is come and have a look at one of the kids that you think God's calling you to change their lives. If you want to sponsor a child, all you need to do is fill in your details as well, and then you will get to keep the picture today, and I will send this part back into the compassion, and that means we'll be able to get your kids coming on board the compassion programs and sponsored. It is words cannot describe what a life-changing event it is to become a sponsored child, to begin receiving your letters and have your financial support. It's £25 a month to sponsor a child. Maybe you could do that, or maybe you could do it as a family, or a few of your friends get together. What a difference it makes in their lives. So thank you so much for having us, myself and Tozi, here today. You're such a blessing, and we just pray that you'll go from strength to strength as a church in the city here. God bless, eh? Thank you.
Thank you so much. We're going to sing a closing song that talks about saving us from just singing and taking action. One of the things that struck me about that last week, we were hearing about just being reminded again in our all-age talk from Neil about our task to make disciples of all nations. And that's what we want to be about as a church, making disciples of all nations. Well, if you heard on the video, the number of children that come to faith as a result of being part of a church program where they hear the gospel. So actually, if you want to be about making disciples of the nations, here's a simple, practical way to do it as well. So it's reflecting God's heart that people from every tribe and nation and language come to know him. And this is one way to do it, as well as being good news to the poor. So let's stand and sing our closing song, God of Justice, Saviour to All. And as we reflect on our response to what we've heard this morning.